They have a different pronunciation for everybody on their head. I hear her family when they all get together and they're saying everything in the Yemenite code. It's just amazing.
All right, let's get started over here. We're holding on Kuf Yod Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Except for the first two lines of this Mishnah, the rest of the topic we're going to be talking about tonight, beginning from the third line of the Mishnah, is going to be about the genium of paying workers on time. The first two lines are just going to finish up one last little bit as far as the genium of Kablonos and Chakronos that we've been talking about for the rest of the day. Mishnah says, if somebody is mekabel a field from somebody else for 1 7-year period, shavua meaning a period that begins from one shmita and ends with the next shmita, where the rental fee is going to be 700 zuz, the shmita year is included as one of those years. In other words, he doesn't have the ability to say, I meant 7 agricultural years. He meant a group of 7 years. You know that a group of 7 years includes one shmita, therefore it meant you paid for the shmita. What are you going to do during that shmita year if you can't work the land? You'll do something else. You'll use the field, for example, to spread out fruit to dry or whatever, but yeah. On the other hand, kiblei menu sheva shana b'sheva meis zuz. But if the deal was that he's going to receive it for 7 years, not for shavua, which means 1 7-year period, but rather for 7 years b'sheva meis zuz for 700 zuz, then ein shvias min aminyan. Then shmita is not counted. It means he needs 7 full agricultural years. Okay. Now to talk about dinim of workers. The Torah tells us in two places about the concept of paying workers on time. One of them is in Parshas Kedoshim. You have a pasuk that goes like this. You should not withhold from your friend. They're learning also, relax. And you shouldn't steal. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what the definition of sashik and sigzol are for this purpose. You should not let the payment of a hired worker remain overnight with you until the morning. That's one. Then in Parshas Ki Seitzeh, the Torah says it in a different way. You're not allowed to withhold the payment of a hired worker who's a poor or needy person. Me'achecha, from among your brothers, o'migercha, or from your geirim, asher ba'artecha, who are in your land, v'sharecha, and your gates. We'll see on Kuf Yod Aleph on the Beis the details why each of those words in the pasuk is significant. The pasuk continues, v'yoyme chitin chora, you have to pay him on that day. V'leisavei olav ha'shemesh, don't let the sun set without paying him. The pasuk continues, because he's an oni and he's looking forward to it, etc. So yeah, the one in Kedoshim then is talking about, it says, don't let it stay with you overnight. The one in Kiseisei is saying you have to pay him during that day. So the Mishnah tells us it depends when this worker is working. If you hire him for a day job, he's entitled to collect any time throughout the following night. So he finishes his work at the end of the day, you have throughout that night to pay. That's the one we're talking about in Kedoshim, that you shouldn't let it remain overnight until the morning. And if he's hired for the night, then he has all day to collect. Rashi mentions on the Pesukim over there the reason is, we'll see in the Gemara actually, the reason is because the Torah gives the Balabos a break, because he may not have cash on hand when the job is done. He needs to go to the ATM or whatever it is. He needs to go and dig up his cash from the ground as they had it in those days, whatever. So therefore, the Torah gives him a 12-hour period, a day or a night, as the case may be, to come up with the cash.
Yeah. Now, just modern halacha, if you hire a worker today, why are you allowed to pay him weekly or biweekly?
Because you're hiring him by the week. That's the next thing we're going to say. If you hire him for a certain number of hours, then you have all night and all day. We'll see in the Gemara, we'll have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, what exactly that means. If you hire him for a week, by the week, in other words, you hire him by the month, by the year, you hire him by the 7-year period. In all those cases, the basic rule is, if he finishes the job sometime during the day, then he has all day, you have all day to pay him, and once Shkia comes, then you are over on the Issur of Bal Tollin. And if he leaves during the night, then you have the rest of that night as well as the following day. Again, the same thing as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So yeah, that's why. So you're asking nowadays, for example, you hire a person, you hire him. The deal is to begin with. When and we'll see in the Gemara, there's various exceptions, but basically the idea is you make up with him to begin with that you're going to be paid every X number of days or whatever it is, and therefore that's fine. You can make this deal. But if you didn't, the assumption is if you're hiring him by the day, then you got to pay him that day or the following night or whatever. How do we know this idea that when a person is hired for a day job that you have that whole following night to pay him? And by the way, what we mean is when we say you have the whole following night, it means two things. Number one, it means after that time you'll be over on the Isser of Loisol and Pola. Erev Shabbos is an exception, actually. That's true. You can't pay him on Shabbos, so what can you do? Then fine, then you try to pay him, but you should pay him before Shabbos, and in fact it says it's brought in Svarim that it is an important thing in that case to try to pay him before Shabbos so that he feels good about it on Shabbos, but if not,
morning,
then
he
worked for you every Shabbos, and we're talking about that you pay him before Shabbos, but if you can't, what can you do? I mean, but yeah. Okay, so when we say that he can collect all the following nights, what we mean is two things. Number one, it means that up until that's the point at which you're going to be over on Baal Talin, if you left it for longer than that. Number two, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, if the worker wants to claim that he wasn't paid yet, during that time, he's the one who we would believe. After that time, we assume that he was already paid, and he would be the one who needs to bring the proof that he wasn't paid yet, as we'll see in the following Mishnah at the bottom of Kufiyud Aleph Amud Aleph. So how do we know then that the Sacher Yoyim can collect throughout the following night? That's why the Pasuk says that you shouldn't allow the wages for the hired worker to remain with you until the morning. How do we know if he was hired for a night job that you have the whole following day to pay him? Because the Pasuk says on that day you should pay him. Okay, the question is, why not say it means the other way around, that loisolin refers to if he worked by night, that you have to pay him sometime during that same night that he worked, and loisolva el vashemesh means the day worker, you have to pay him sometime during that day. The reason is, you can't say that, is because we have a rule, we've learned it before, that you only owe a hired worker for his pay when the job is finished. Therefore, if you hired the guy for the entire day, of necessity, the bill only comes due at the end of the day when he finishes work. Well, therefore, it can't mean you have to pay him during that day because you weren't obligated to pay him till he finished the job. Therefore, of necessity, it has to mean the following night, and vice versa. This is, by the way, there's an idea related to this brought in Sfarim on a deeper level. We work for the Eibishter, anan poyli di mama anan, is an expression in the Gemara, and we know that Eibishter pays us, but we say that Eibishter pays us l'machar, hayom l'asos l'machar l'tol sfarim. Today we work, tomorrow in Olam Haba is when we get our schar. Why? Because based on this, chirutein mishalom et elo v'sos, the schar is only payable when the job is finished. And that means on a personal level, when the person's job on this world is finished after 70, 80, 120, or whatever it is years, and I mean collectively, the Jewish people, the job is still being worked on until Mashiach comes. Okay.
We have a long way to go.
No, Chas v'Shalom, we don't have a long way to go.
We could.
I don't know, because of Tishmon. Okay, turn it up on. Mimash m'shenem aloi solim pu l'asach ha'itcha. Given that the Pasuk says that you should not allow the wages of the worker to remain with you, the word loisolin itself implies overnight. The word lina implies staying overnight. Therefore, any adesha ad boker, wouldn't I automatically realize from that it means until the morning? Ma tam loima ad boker, so what does the word ad boker come to include? Malama chena over el ad boker rishon bilvad. It means that you're only over if you left it over up till the first morning. Meaning, but it means in other words like this. Tosfos discusses that over here. Tosfos discusses over here. Yeah, would it mean at a lois shachar? Would it be netzachama? Yeah, whatever. That's a side issue. Tosfos also discusses over here that really lina implies the entire night, which is why we said in the Mishnah that if it was a night worker, you have the entire night as well as the entire day. Since he was working during some part of the night, you can't say that you only have until the end of that night to pay him because that wouldn't be lina. Lina is defined as from the beginning of the night until the end of the night. Therefore, that's why the Mishnah is telling us that you have... But the point is that that's why we're saying you have also the following day because otherwise you can't call it lina. Okay, so anyway, the point is that we're saying that you're only over until the first morning, meaning, let's say, for example, the guy worked for you Sunday during the day. You have all of Sunday night until Monday morning to pay him. If Alois HaShachar comes Monday morning and you haven't paid him, you're over on Baal Tovim. Now, what happens? You don't pay him during the day on Monday either. And Tuesday morning comes and you still haven't paid him. At that point, you have not been over on another lav. You're over on the one lav of Lois Tovim. But since it says Ad Boker implies only until the first morning, once that comes, you're not over on any extra lav. That because that's what we're saying. That's what the word Ad Boker comes to teach us. Only until the first morning.
And the second morning, if you still...
The second morning, so that's what we're going to say. Mikan ve'elach mai. After that, what happens? What are you over on at that point? The answer is, Amar Rav, over Mishum Baal Tasha. At that point, you're over on an Isser, not an Isser Daraisa, but kind of an Isser Drabanan of Baal Tasha. Don't delay it. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra. So Rav Yosef says, what the pasuk that expresses that idea, that you have a mitzvah not to delay it any more than it already has been delayed? That's a pasuk from Mishlei. Al Toma L'Rei Acha Leich V'Shuv V'Machar Etzin. Don't say to your friend, go away and come back, and I'll give it to you tomorrow. V'yesh itcha, when you have the money with you. So in other words, again, the guy was working for you Sunday during the day. You have to pay him sometime during the night, Sunday night, or until Alois HaShachar Monday morning. You didn't, you were over on Baal Tovim. At that point,
in the morning.
At that point, if you delay any further, you're not any more over on the issue of Baal Tovim. You can't be over on more instances of it because it was only the first time Ad Boker. But you are being over repeatedly on this Baal Tasha, this thing that I've done, and that you're delaying in paying him.
So now going to the next topic. One second after that first day, you're also
over, yeah, of course. Baal Tasha is from the first morning onward. By the way, Mefarshim also discussed what about would the same be true in reverse? You don't have the same kind of limud by the one where the Torah talks about paying him during the night. The one in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, when it talks about the day worker, that the Yom Tishrei's code of Leisavar al Hashemesh, there there's nothing that implies that it's only the first time and not subsequent days. Does the same din apply that if you have until Shkia of the first day to pay him, and if you weren't, you're over on that, and if you keep on doing, you're only over on Baal Tasha? Or maybe in that case, you are repeatedly over on Leisavar al Hashemesh, because there's no exception given that it only applies the first day. Okay, it's different explanations among the Rishonim. Okay. Turn around. If somebody says to somebody else, go hire me workers. Shnein ain't oven b'shum Baal Tovim. Neither one, if the workers are not paid on time, is going to be over on this Isser of Baal Tovim. Incidentally, when we talk about this Isser of Baal Tovim, not necessarily are we talking about that it's an Isser. We're not talking about when we say that he's over on the Isser. We don't mean that he's going to be chayav malchus or anything. It's a lav shein b'maisa. You're not doing anything. It's a passing thing. We're just talking about the fact you've done an Isser, and now comes before Yom Kippur. You're going to have to clap al chet about it and ask the guy mechila. Not in that order. Because he's supposed to ask him Chila first. You pay him first, then you ask him Chila. Well, we're assuming you already paid him, right? But even if you paid him late, but yeah, you still have to ask him Chila, unless he was motivated already, yeah, and then you have to clap off head for a trip. Okay. So in this case, we're saying if you ask somebody else to hire you the workers, neither one is going to be over on this issue. Zel officially Sachron. The one, the Balabas is not going to be over on it because he's not the one who actually hired them. Zel officially Kolos to Esley. The other one, because the other one. One second, okay. The Tosfos read after that. Good. One second. Zel officially Kolos to Esley, and the other one because he's not the one who's having the work done for him. Right. Okay. So the Tosfos read asks your question. Why don't we say Shlokol Shalom Kamosay? Okay. The Tosfos Rid asks the question that Avraham Moshe just brought up. Why is it we don't say Shlucha Shaladim Kamoisei? So I'm trying to remember, what is the answer? One of the Rishonim asked this question. I saw the answer. There were actually a couple of different answers. I don't remember his answer, actually. I do remember, though, the Meshech Chachma gives an answer that, if you look at the Lashon HaPasuk, the expression in Parshas Kedoshim, at least, is Lo'itzolim pro'olachsach itcha. So he says the word itcha doesn't just mean that you left the money by you and didn't pay him. It also means he's a worker by you, implying the Torah is being memaized by that explicitly, that if he's not a worker by you, then you're not over. In this case, he's not by either one. The one didn't hire them, so you can't call him Sofer Itcha as the one that you hired, and the other one is not responsible for paying them either. Okay, that's how the Mesher Chochma explains it. The Torah is really
like him, right?
But in this case, the Torah is Mamayitik by saying Itcha. That's his explanation. The Torah really did give a different answer, but I don't remember it offhand. If I remember it as we go along, I'll say it also. Okay. So, what is the scenario over here that you're saying that the shliach is not going to be chayav on baltoli? If the case is that he hires the workers and tell them, I will be responsible for making sure you get paid, well then, then in fact, he's the one responsible to pay, and he will be then, he has to go get reimbursed by the baltoli. But he's considered to be the one who hired them and is responsible for their pay, and if he doesn't pay them in time, Taka, he should be on baltoli. Like you said, the Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, in a related case, has socher to pay losses for shaloi v'herod ol b'shachaver. If somebody hires a worker to do work on his own field, for example, and instead he shows him somebody else's field, and the guy ends up doing the work on that field, noisilay kodem yisholim. The one who hired him has to pay him in full for the job. V'choizav and noisav v'balabais mashahena. And then he goes and gets reimbursed by the balabas the benefit, because after all he tells the other balabas, look, you know, your field got watered or whatever it is. You would have had to hire workers to do it anyhow. Instead, no, but we're assuming it's the kind of thing that he has the benefit that got done. It depends, right? It gets complicated. Is it something that really would have had to be done? But whatever. Assuming it's something that would have had to be done, and something that he wouldn't have been doing himself. And this comes up in a lot of cases. I saw an interesting case, for example, they brought up the Business Halacha Institute, which is an interesting website with all kinds of different issues in Dini Mominus. They bring up a similar one where somebody a yeshiva bacher accidentally takes somebody else's jacket to the dry cleaners. The other guy, Taka, needed his jacket dry cleaned. He wasn't necessarily going to do it yet, but first, you know, he now has a clean jacket, which he didn't before. So it's a similar kind of thing. Does he recognize it? Yeah, no, okay. The point is that we see by the same logic over here, this guy says to the workers, I'm going to be responsible for paying you. Yes, we should consider him that he's the one who hired them. He's the one who's responsible for Baltolin if he doesn't pay him in time. Why are we saying that not? The answer is like Tricha, Domal is Kachama Balabai. Fine. But the case we must be talking about is where he said, I'm hiring you. I'm the hiring agent. I'm HR over here. But the Balabas is going to be responsible for paying you. Well, then in that case, then we're back to neither one is going to be over. Again, you can still have, there's still going to be the issue of Baltashia. There's still going to be the issue if the workers aren't paid on time. The Balabas is going to have the issue, the Issa Dirabanan that we said of Loitasha, of Baltashia, that he's delaying paying them unreasonably. But you can't say he's over on the Issa Doraisa of Baltol, because he's not the one who hired them. So Taka, a case in that connection. Yehuda bar Merema Amalei L'Shamei Zil Agli Poyalim. So Yehuda bar Merema, one of the Amoraim, says to his shamash, go hire me some workers, the emel who's tarchama balabayis, and go tell them that, when you go hire them, tell them that I'm responsible for their pay. And in that way, again, neither of us will be over. Now, what does that mean? Tosfa says, is he trying to stall for time? Is he trying to make it that he won't have to pay them in time and not be over? No, he's saying like this. It might happen when the... Why is he telling his shamash to do this and get himself a loophole of on the dinim of Baltolin? Why is he trying to find himself a loophole? He's telling his shamash, go hire the workers and tell them I'll be responsible to pay, which we just learned in the Braisa that makes neither of them over on Baltolin. Now, what does that mean? Is Yehuda bar Merema trying to stall for time and not pay them in time? No. Tosfos says what it is like this. What happens when they finish the job? What if he's too busy? What if he's busy with something else and doesn't have the chance to pay them? So, he wants to avoid... Now, Baltolin he'd be over on regardless. If you're busy or not, doesn't matter. The Torah imposes on you, you have to set aside your other business and pay your workers. The issue of Baltasher, in this sense, is a little more lenient. The issue of Baltasher only applies if you're deliberately stalling for paying him when you weren't busy with something else. Therefore, Yehuda bar Merema is doing this way. He won't be over on the technical issue of Baltolin. He also, if he doesn't pay them in time because he's busy, he won't be over on Baltasher because he was otherwise occupied. But this way, in other words, he's avoiding that there won't be a situation where he unwittingly ends up being over on the issue of Loisa. But he will still, of course, try to pay them in time.
But if he's not busy, he's just sitting there.
If he's not busy and he's just sitting there, then he would be over on Baltasher. Baltasher, yeah.
My implication.
Right. Okay. Similarly, the Gemara says, Marema and Mazutra agri lahadori. Similarly, Marema and Mazutra would hire workers for each other. Same kind of thing. When Marema needed workers, he'd have Mazutra hire them for him and vice versa. And again, that way, both of them avoid any possible issues about talk. The people who buy and sell in the market of Surah are not over on Baal Talin. When they hire workers and they don't end up paying them until the Yom HaShuk, until market day, they're not over on Baal Talin. Why? Because the workers know that these merchants are waiting for the Yom HaShuk. They know that these merchants don't have ready cash on hand. So therefore, they understand when they're hired in the first place. They understand that they're not necessarily going to be paid until the Yom HaShuk. Which Rashi makes the point. Even if the merchant happens to have money on hand, he still doesn't have to, because the workers understand that being merchants, they buy and sell whenever they find merchandise available, and then they may, just because they have money right now doesn't mean that they have it available to pay the workers. They may need it in order to buy more supplies, and therefore the workers understand that and are merchant, and therefore you're not over on Baal Talin. But if they're over on Baal Tasha, but if they delay paying them past the Yom HaShuk, then they are going to be over on Baal Tasha. Again, they're not going to be over on Baal Talin, because once the first day passed, we said Baal Talin only applies the first morning. Once the first morning has passed, then they weren't obligated to pay them because they were able to wait for the Yom HaShuk. They're never again going to be over on Baal Talin. We said it would only apply the first time. However, if they keep on delaying, they will be over on Baal Tasha. Yeah. Then we said in the Mishnah, Thanks, guys. Okay. We said that a worker who's hired for only a certain number of hours, we said in the Mishnah, has all night and all day to collect. So what does that mean? Amar Rav, it means like this. If he was hired for a certain number of hours during the day, then he has the rest of that day to collect. And if the balabas doesn't pay him by the end of that day, by shkia of that day, he's going to be over. So shoyis the laila gover kol laila. If he was hired for a certain number of hours in the night, then he's able to collect all night. In other words, Rav learns that when we say kol laila v'chol yom, doesn't mean the entire night as well as the entire day. It means one or the other. One or the other, depending whether the hours were in the day or in the night. Or Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says no. What it means is schir shoyis the yom gover kol yom. If he was hired for a certain number of hours during the day, then yes, it means that he can collect throughout the rest of that day. But if he was hired for a certain number of hours during the night, then he taka has all night and the following day.
So it almost always includes both.
So according to Shmuel, it's like this. We know that hayoyim ha'olachachar alayla. By erev vayivoker, in halacha for almost all purposes, except for korbanos, the daytime follows the nighttime. Therefore, Shmuel figures like this. If the guy was hired for a certain number of hours during the day, fine. Comes Shkia, it's already a new day. Therefore, you have to pay him before the end of that day. Mashenkin, if he was hired by night, well, that night still includes the following day as well. The next day is Nimshach after it, therefore you have till the end of that following day.
He worked until 1 minute before Shkia.
If you hired him, and we're talking Shkir Shoyz, if you hired him for a certain amount of time, if you hired him in such a way that the deal was he's finished with his term a minute before Shkia, yeah, that was your problem. Who told you to hire him that way? Yes, okay. The point is, when we're talking about Schir Shoyz over here, we mean you hired him for a certain number of hours during the day. He's going to be finished at 12 or 1 or 2 or whatever in the afternoon. Yeah, we're not talking about if you hired him to finish a minute before Shkia, that's your problem. Why did you make such an arrangement? Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Rav says that it's one or the other. Shmuel says that sometimes you can have both. only sometimes, only if he finished his work during the night. Only if you hired him and he did his work during the night,
before
then you have
shachar.
Before Alos HaShachar, then you have the rest of that night as well as the rest of the following daytime. Okay. So let's see the Mishnah. Tnan Tzchir Shoyz Goy V'Kolalayla V'Kolayoy. The Mishnah said that a worker hired by the hours can collect throughout the night and throughout the day tur for the Rav. That's a contradiction to Rav, who says it's one or the other. Amalach Rav, let's do it. The answer is Rav would say it doesn't mean and, it means or. It's talking about two different cases. It doesn't mean kolalayla v'cholayim, doesn't mean both of them, it means one or the other, as the case may be. Now, let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. If he was hired by the week or the month or the year or the 7 year period, then we say that then if he leaves, if his term is up during the day, then he can collect throughout that day. And the Mishnah continues, if he leaves at night, then he can collect throughout the night as well as throughout the next day. So there you go. Now you can't say that it means one or the other, because the Mishnah itself clearly distinguishes between whether he left during the day or during the night. The answer is Amalach Rav Tanoi. Rav can answer you, this is actually a Machlokas Tanoi. And therefore, fine, the Mishnah is according to one Tana. I'm entitled to hold according to a different Tana.
The Tana. Like Rav?
Yes, we'll get to that. Yeah. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Schir Shoyz D'Yoyim Goy V'Kolayoyim, a Braisa says that a worker who's hired by the hour, if he's working during the day, collects throughout the day. Schir Shoyz D'Layla Goy V'Kolayoyim, if he's working for hours during the night, then he collects all night, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. So fine, Rav is saying, I'm going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Schir Shoyz D'Yoyim Goy V'Kolayoyim, Rabbi Yehuda says, like in our Mishnah, that the Schir Shoyz of the day collects throughout the day, Schir Shoyz D'Layla Goy V'Kolayoyim, V'Kolayoyim, which means like Shmuel. So now we're saying, right, so who is the halacha like? Usually in Dinim Omanis, the halacha is like Shmuel. On the other hand, if he were saying that Rav is like Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel is like Rabbi Shimon, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. And there's a further wrinkle in it also, which is are we saying that only Rav, Mephoshim discussed, are we saying that only Rav would say that it's Machlokas, and Shmuel would learn the Mishnah as saying that there is no Machlokas, or are we saying that both of them would agree that if we go like Rav, then it comes out our Stam Mishnah is not so Stam after all, it's only according to Reb Shimon. And in that case, the halacha can well be like Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa.
Which would put the Mishnah to be in a minority.
Which would be the mission, which would put the Mishnah to be according to Reb Shimon. Okay, but it happens.
Yeah.
But it happens. So based on all of that and a lot more discussion beyond that, the halacha in this case is passing like Rav, yeah. Okay. Mikan Amru, now the Braisa continues, based on this that we're saying, that you have this that we're saying that you have to pay the worker in time. And the Ran explains what we mean is based on this that we're saying that even if the guy was working for only several hours, you have a mitzvah to pay him on time. How much more so if he was working for a whole day? So kolakovish schar socher. So if a person withholds the wages of a hired worker over behesh shemus halalu ve'eset, he is over on five different loisa says five different statements in the Torah that say not to do this, as well as one eset. Mishum bal tasha katsreacha. Number one is in Parshas Kedoshim where it says don't withhold from your friend. Or mishum bal tigzol, and the pasuk continues lois tigzol. Don't rob him. It's considered gezel. Yeah, well, that's what we're going to discuss in the next piece of Gemara now. Yeah. Or mishum bal tashik sacher ani. Then in Parshas Kisese it also says don't withhold the wages of a poor hired worker. It doesn't matter. Or mishum bal tolin. And also the Torah continues. And also the Torah continues over there that don't let it stay overnight by you. Then you have the mitzvah. The Baal Tolin is going back to Kedoshim. The Gemara is mixing together over here the things from the various Tzukim. So you have like Sashik and like Digzel from Kedoshim. Baltashik Sacher Oni is from Kisese. Baltolin is again from Kedoshim. Or Mishum B'Yomitikin Tzchoroi, again from Kisese, you have the Ether that pay him on that day, pay him on the day that he finished. Or Mishum Loisalver Alav Hashemesh, and the one that says in Kisese, don't let the sun set without paying him. So the question is, Hani D'Ikabi Mama Lekabalelia, D'Ikabalelia, Lekabi Mama. Okay, but some of them are contradictory to each other. Some of them only apply to a day worker, some of them only apply to a night worker. For example, the one of the Yom Titin Skore we established only applies to a night worker. It doesn't apply to a day worker.
That's what we said.
Yeah. Amar Rav Chista. So what do you mean you're over on 5 plus 1? Amar Rav Chista Shem Schirus Ba'alma. So Rav Chista says it means just the name of Schirus, which means, Rashi says, it doesn't mean that you can ever be over on all 6 of them at one time. It means you have 6 different dinim, 6 different mitzvahs that are involved over here. Depending on the circumstances, whether it's a day worker or a night worker, you can be over on any, you can be over on any, on varying numbers of these 6. But these 6 are the ones that we're dealing with over here. So sometimes you can be over on 2, sometimes 3, whatever. The Rambam actually learns differently. First, the Rambam actually has a different girsa over here. He has a girsa that's four lavim and an esed because he apparently holds that the two leisashiks, one from kedoshim and one from kisetze, since it's the same word, it doesn't count as a separate mitzvah. So he says 4 lavim and an esed. But anyway, he says you are taka over on all of them because what we're saying is once the Torah says some of them by one and some of them by the other one, we learn from one to the other. So yes, if you withhold the wages of a worker who worked for you during the day and you didn't pay him throughout that night, you would think, how are you over on Loisava El of Hashemesh? That's not relevant to him. No, because the Torah mentions in the two different places one set of lavim and another set of lavim, we combine them all together and say they all apply in each case. So yeah, in that case, you would be over on all 4 lavim plus 1 exit and vice versa. So now we mentioned that the pasuk mentions the pasuk uses the expression in kedoshim lo sashik and lo singo. So we have to ask ezu oshik ve ezu gezel. What is the definition for this purpose of oshik and what is the definition of gezel? Oshik kind of implies that you're holding something back from him. Gezel implies, as we learned back in Bava Kamma, that gezel implies that you actually took it out of his hand. So what is that? And especially when it comes to a hired worker, Oshik, I can understand. What's the gezel? He didn't have anything in his hand that you're taking away from him. So Amar Rav Chista, it's like this. If you tell him leich v'shuv, leich v'shuv, if you tell him, like in the pasuk from Mishlei that we quoted before, go back, go away and come back another time, and you keep on delaying him like that, zehu Oshik, that's the definition of Oshik. You're withholding from him and not paying him. Yes, but if you say, yes, I know I owe you that money, but I'm not going to pay you. Zehu gezel. Rav Chista would say that's the definition of gezel for this purpose. Maskifla Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis asked on that, what do you mean? We say like this. There's a different place where the Torah also brings up the concept of Oshik. Namely, when it comes to Asham Gzelus, at the end of Parashas Vayikra, the Torah talks about, we learned about it a great deal towards the end of Bava Kamma, that you have the various cases over there where a person denies that it denies owing money to somebody else, which there's a lot of different cases. It can be, for example, the guy gave a pikadon and he denies ever having received it or he claims he already gave it back. It can be that he found something and claims that he never found it or that he returned it already, whatever. A variety of different cases over there, yeah. And one of them, the Torah mentions over there, is Oshik. One of the ones the Torah gives in the list over there is Oshik. So, Ezo Oshik Shechiv all of Torah Korban. So what's the Oshik that the Torah is Machayev you to bring a Korban for it? Is Dumya to Pekodin. It has to be the kind of Oshik which is similar to a Pekodin, to Kakofalei Ramona, where you're denying some mammon. So Rashi points out, the point of the question is like this. The Torah is saying that when you Chayev the Oshim in those cases, is you the guy made a claim against you, you swore falsely that you don't owe, you already paid back or what have you. And it could be on any of them, Pekodin and Oshik, that's the point. They're all in the same boat over there. The case is, the guy takes you to Beis Din, you owe me money for whatever reason it is. You say, you never gave it to me, or I paid it back, as the case may be, and you swear falsely to that. Later on, you do tshuva, v'hoyek yechta v'oshim, eventually you do tshuva, and you admit that you were guilty, and at that point you pay him the ked and v'choymish and bring your oshim. Of necessity, you have to be talking about a case where he's denying the claim. Not where he's saying, not where he's saying, leich v'shuv, keep on coming back. That's not denying the claim. You wouldn't have a case where you That's swear it. Claim. Never mind that. The point is, you wouldn't swear on something like that, Rashi says. Swearing is, the other guy tells you, you owe me this money, and you deny it. You say, I don't owe it to you at all.
I paid you already.
Yeah, I don't owe you for whatever reason. And I'm willing to swear to that. Saying, I don't have it right now, come back tomorrow. That's not something you would swear on. So therefore, Oshik, in that context can't have to be something similar to a pekodin. Again, pekodin is also not a pekodin by definition. It's not the guy says, well, where's my pekodin? And you say, well, I don't have it right now. Come back tomorrow. If you don't have it right now, you're a pesheya. You're going to have to pay on the spot anyhow. Obviously, by the pekodin is you're claiming you never gave it to me or I returned it already. Or for that matter, it could also be just you're claiming, for example, I'm a shem chinam and it was stolen, or I'm a shem sachar and there was an onus, whatever, all the various permutations. Oshik has to be the same kind of thing. So therefore, applying oshik now to our case of paying a worker, it has to be the same kind of thing. It can't be like you're saying that it just means you're stolen for time. Elo amar Rav Sheshes, so no, Rav Sheshes says you have to explain like this. Nesativ l'chol zehu oshik. If a person says, I already paid you, that's the definition of oshik. You're denying the claim, just like by the Bekavim. Yesh l'chol b'yodi v'ein inoisim l'ch, but fine, I'll agree with you, Rav Chista, on the second part. If you say, yes, I have the money, but I'm not going to pay you, zehu gezel. Zehu gezel, that would be gezel. However, maskif l'abaya, but abaya asks on that. Another one in that list of things at the end of Parshas Vayikra that are relevant to Hashem Gzeilus. Another one in that list is Gezel.
And Gezel.
Ezo Gezel Shechiyav Olav Torah Jomir to Pekodin. And again, what kind of Gezel? It would have to be the kind of Gezel similar to Pekodin. To Kakofalei Mamayna. Again, where you kofer something.
You don't have it, basically.
What? Where you say, for example, I never stole it from you, or I already returned it to you, or what have you. It can't be like you're saying, yes, I have it, but I'm not returning to you. Again, that wouldn't be the kind of thing that you'd swear in Beis Din on. If you said, I have it, and I'm not returning to you, Beis Din would just force you to return it. you would never get to the Shavua and to the Asham and the rest of that rigmarole, yeah? So it can't be that Gezel means that. El Amar Abaya, no. No, if you say, I never hired you in the first place, that would be the definition of oshik. Which then in that case, why is that not similar to gezel? Oshik would mean if he claimed, I never hired you in the first place. So meaning, the difference is, Rashi says like this, when would it be gezel is where you agree the guy worked for you, but you say I already paid him. Nesati b'lachol zehu gezel. If you say I agree you worked for me, but I already paid it for you, that would be gezel. You're admitting that at one time you owed him this money, and now you're claiming though that I don't owe it to you. That would be gezel. Oshik would mean you claiming you never owed it to him in the first place because you never hired him.
What are the classic definitions of gezel and oshik?
Usually, the definition of gezel is you grab it out of the other person's hands. Like you gezel to hanis mi adamit.
Right in broad daylight. Just
yeah, but that can't be relevant over here. The guy doesn't have it already in his hands that you'd be taking it away.
Oshik,
basically it means to withhold something, but that's what we have to figure out, what is one versus the other. Yeah. So far we're up to Abaya then, that the difference is, we're not talking about that he's saying go away and come back. We're not saying, I have it, but I'm not going to give it to you. Neither one of those would work. We have to reinterpret both of them and say that both of them are talking about that you're claiming, but I'm denying it for one reason or another. One is, I'm claiming I never hired you. And the other one, I'm claiming I already paid you. If we were to compare it to a pekodin, for example, it would be the equivalent of, I never received the pekodin versus I received the pekodin and I returned it.
I paid you already as Oshek, and I never... No, it's,
no it, I never hired you as Oshek. I paid you already as Oshek. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Let's go back to Rav Sheshes. Ulur Rav Sheshes, Maishna Oshek to Kashale, or Maishna Gezel to Kashale. Why is it Rav Sheshes, he had a problem with Rav Chista's definition of... He had a problem with Rav Chista's definition of Oshek, that he said, how can Oshek mean that you're stalling for time? It's not similar to Kepodin.
Right.
Why doesn't Itaka have the same problem with Gezel, as Abaya points out? That Gezel also has to mean something where you could potentially reach the situation of a Shavuot. The answer is Amalach, because Rav Sheshes can answer you like this. Gezel means the Gazle v'hadr kafe, because Gezel doesn't have to mean like Abaya is saying that he's denying it to begin with. It can be, for example, that first he stole it from him by saying that I'm not going to give it to you, and later on when the guy takes you to Beis Din, the guy is saying he already has the money, why isn't he paying me? Then you deny it, what are you hacking me a China for? Yes, I said then I'm not going to pay you, but since then I already paid you. So therefore you could say that Gezel is originally consists of saying I'm not going to give it to you, you're talking about the gezel has to involve kfira. Fine, eventually it involves kfira, because eventually when it comes to Beis Din, you say, meanwhile, but between when I said that to you, and now I've already paid. So therefore, Rav Sheshes could understand it that way. That's how Rav Sheshes can understand it.
It has to involve kfira.
Yeah. Okay, the question is, Ihachi Oshik Nami Dehodokap, right? Fine, right. Say the same thing about Oshik then. Say that it means the same kind of thing. For Rav Chista's thing, Rav Chista's definition of Oshik that we said means go away, come back tomorrow, I'll have it for you then. The guy comes back tomorrow and takes you to Beis Din, and you say, I already paid you. Yeah. So why don't we say, if Rav Sheshes can allow that by Gezel, why can not allow that? If he can understand Gezel to mean that, why can't he understand Oshik to mean that? The Gemara answers, Hachi Hashtag. How are you thinking to compare these two things? Bishleim ha'asim k'siv oy b'gozel. Now, we have to look at the psukim in Vayikra. Nefesh k'sechto molam al b'ashem v'chichish b'amise. A person denies against somebody else the gozel oy b'sumas yod, or in a business deal. What's the lashon? Yeah, the v'chichish b'amise pikadon oy b'sumas yod oy b'gozel. He denies on him in a pikadon or in a business deal or in gezel. Or he withheld from his friend. Now, if you notice, there's a difference in the expression. Gezel is a noun. Yeah. Oshak is a verb. He wronged. He withheld. Right. Therefore, if Shesha says there's a difference. The first part of the pasuk mentions that one of the things that he's denying is a case of gezel. Miklal de oydile meikara, implying that. We're talking about now it's gezel, because we're talking about it's something where now he's first denying after the original act of gezel by saying I'm not going to give it to you. Now he's denying the claim, but now he's creating the gezel
by doing what?
Look in Rashi, Halchi Garsin, and that's about the middle of the nap, about the middle of the wide lines in Rashi. The pasuk says that he denies in a case of gezel hashta, and it says he denies it now. After this list of all these things, the gezel or the sumas yod or whatever, then the pasuk continues that he denies it. Miklal hashta, meaning now. Miklal the odule meikara, implying that originally he admitted the claim. Claimar. This that he's denying now, a gezel, meaning something that he had been in effect of up until now, b'terdas gezel, that up until now it had been an act of gezel by saying, I'm not going to give it to you, now, kichashachsha v'kafar. Now he's doing a new thing on that, and he's denying it. V'kafar. And umikodim kachash kori gezel. So before he ever denied it, it's already a case of gezel. How could that be? By him saying, I'm not going to give it to you. Calling it gezel, and then later on, the pasuk saying, v'chicheshba, implies that first it's gezel, and then we reach the stage of v'chicheshba, that he denies it. How could that be? Rav Sheshes is saying, that would be, in other words, that first you made it gezel by saying, I have it, but I'm not going to give it to you. Later on, when the guy takes you to Beis Din, you change your tune, and you say, actually, I already gave it to you. But that works.
I already gave it, yeah.
You came to me on Sunday and said, where's my money? And I said, I have it, but I'm not going to give it to you. So you now on Monday afternoon, you're taking me to Beis Din. And at that point, I come and claim, you know what, this morning already I paid you. Yes, yesterday I said I wasn't going to give it to you, but today I changed my mind and gave it to you.
Wouldn't that be frustrating?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be believed. Because
well, but that's
obviously
the case.
If he said the first time.
No, not necessarily.
I'm giving it to you. No. But he didn't tell the best.
Oh, yeah, he didn't tell the base, didn't he?
Who's paid one on one?
All cases in the Torah where a person takes an oath would be the one who wants to be falter. So in this case, it'll be this person who has to take the oath. And if he does falsely and later on he does struggle, then that's when he'll pay the Karen Bechaymish and give the Asham. Yeah.
Right. So he could win by.
Yeah. Avo Gabit. No, so it's a case where the other guy has a proof that he was employed by him. So he, or as we'll see in the next Mishnah, there's some cases we'll say even that the worker himself. So there's cases where the Chachamim said the other way around, that the worker can swear and collect. Here we're talking about after the fact. So no, he has proof that he was employed by this guy. That's not a problem of bringing a riot. The question is whether he was paid or not. Yeah.
How could you swear if he's a liar?
What? I'm not a liar. Sunday I said I wasn't going to pay you. But fine, since then I paid you.
He's a liar, but he hasn't.
Been fine, but we don't have any proof that he's a liar, so he's not Choshed Ashavua. As we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, just because he's Choshed on Mammon doesn't make him Choshed on Ashavua.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So, but Avogabi Oshik, Miksiv Oiba Oshik, the Torah doesn't use the noun Oiba Oshik, which would be the same kind of thing that first it was Oshik and later on there was the Yonayel. Oi Oshak. The Torah uses it as a verb form, in the past tense verb form. He wronged, meaning sha'oshkei kvar, meaning that by the time we come to the kachash, by the time we come to Beis Din, he's already wronged. He's already withheld from him. That's what leads Rav Sheshes to say that Oishik, must be where he claims, I already gave it to you. So there, it's already an Oishik at the time. When he comes to Beis Din, he's already an Oshik, because he's already denying it right at that time and claiming that I gave it to you already. As opposed to before, where it was Gezel, where he says, first, I'm not going to give it to you, which at that point he did Gezel, and now later on he's transferring that into a denial. So that's what brings Rav Sheshes to say that there must be a difference. That's why he had a problem with Rav Chista's understanding of Oshik, but he didn't have a problem with his understanding of Gezel. Okay, Torah. Because the Torah. Rav Chista didn't make that difference. Rav Sheshes wants to make that distinction. Torah just points out Abaya doesn't have to hold of that distinction either. That's why Abaya further had a problem with Rav Sheshes, and that's why he has to reinterpret it yet another way. Okay. Rava Amar. Rava says, never mind all of that. Zehu Oshik, Zehu Gezel. Oshik and Gezel is just two names for the same thing. V'lama chilkan ha-kosev. Why does the pasuk divide it? Why does it say loisashik and loisigzel? Lavra ola b'shnei lavin. It teaches you that if you do this, if you withhold a worker's wages illegally, then you're over on two lavin. But not to say that there's any...
On the same avera?
On the same avera, yeah. It doesn't mean you're going to get double malchus.
No.
It's not a malchus, but it means that you're going to be over on two avera. And the vice versa also, of course, it means if you do pay him on time, it means you observe two mitzvahs loisa.
But then the Torah could have repeated one name twice instead of giving us two names.
Okay, but that's what it means. In other words, that it's two different kinds of things, and therefore you're over on both of them. Right. Mishnah says, Echad schar adam ve'echad schar behema ve'echad schar kelim, regardless whether we're talking about wages for a person who you hired, or for an animal that you rented, or for kelim that you rented, all of them, yeshba mishum b'yemetitim scharei, with all of them, the mitzvah of paying them during that day applies, if you use them during the night, like we said. The yeshba mishum loisolim pro lasachar itzchad boker, and the din of that you shouldn't let the wages stay by you overnight, if you were using them during the day, also applies. Amasai, when does all this apply that you have the mitzvah to pay him on time? Bizman shatovo, if they demanded the pay. Loi tovo ain't over all of, but if they didn't demand it, then you're not over, even if you delay the payment, because it has to be that they asked for it first. The Rebbe used to talk about the idea that this is one of the importances of davening for Mashiach and saying we want Mashiach now, etc., because based on this, that if we don't ask for it, then Kaviyachol Eivish is not obligated to do it.
It's not schar.
It's not a schar per se. I mean, to a certain extent it is, but it's really the culmination of all of our avodah. But still, you know, if you're not teveh,
the Eishtei is most highly
not. No, so that's what we said. You know, that's what we said before. The job's not done yet.
Mm. Right.
Okay. Onward.
So then it's not a schar yet.
No.
When is it going to be done?
When the avodah is complete. When the world
2
is.
2 hours, 15 minutes, 33 seconds,
or even less. Continues the mission. Imchahu etzel chen v'niyo etzel shulchani. If the balabas refers the worker to a storekeeper or to a money changer, namely that he says, let's say, that you anyway have to go grocery shopping, so you go and put stuff on my bill and I'll pay the guy afterwards, or the same thing by a shulchani, and you're over, Olaf. So then if you don't pay him in time, you're not over, because it's similar to what we said before about you're hiring somebody else. You're hiring the workers on behalf of somebody else, or somebody else is responsible for the pay. Here it's a similar kind of thing. Socher bizmane nishba v'noitze. The worker within that time that we were talking about before, if he claims that he hasn't been paid, he can swear to that effect and collect. This is a shvur midrabon. Midaraisa, again, there's no such thing as swearing in order to collect. Midaraisa, you always swear in order to be potter from paying. Midrabanan, there are a number of cases, this is one of them, where a person can swear and collect money on that basis. this is one of them. So if we have the guy was a day worker, so he's supposed to be paid sometime during that night. If during that period he claims he hasn't been paid yet, fine. There's reason to take him at his word. Therefore, we will make him swear to that effect, and then he can collect.
So he's got that night and the next day.
No, just that night, Mahoto was saying.
Just that night. So the vase didn't work at night.
If they have to, but wait. Overzmana in Anishpa Vinoto. If the time passed, though, then he cannot swear and collect, because then we assume that the Balabas paid him already in order not to be over on Baltolin, and therefore, if he wants to say that not, he has to bring proof. Okay. But wait, im yesh edim shetove bizmane, if there are edim that he claimed it during that time, bizmane we take out, because actually the Gemara is going to put it back in, but it wasn't apparently originally part of the Mishnah. Then he can swear and collect even later. So to answer your question, not necessarily does the beis din have to sit at night. But if let's say the guy was working Sunday night, he's supposed to be Sunday day, and he's supposed to be paid sometime during the night Sunday night.
That's to go before.
So not necessarily is it that the beis din has to sit Sunday night. If he has to go and demand it from the Balabas sometime during Sunday night.
With Aiden.
Once he does that, then later on, he can go Monday morning, Tuesday morning, whenever he wants, and say, I have Aiden that I demanded it from him, yes? And
Continues
the Mishnah. Ger Toshav Yeshva Mishum B'yoma Tikin Tzkaroi. If you have a Ger Toshav working for you, so Ger Toshav, we know, he's accepted not to worship Avodah Zarah. There's a machlokas in a couple places in Gemara, what exactly he has to accept on himself to be considered a Ger Toshav. The halacha is he has to accept all the Shev Mitzvahs in a Noyach, but he still eats Nevelus at Shreifus and then doesn't keep the other Mitzvahs. But he's called a Ger Toshav, as we know, because he has the right to live in Eretz Yisrael. So, Yeshva...
He has no chelek, right?
He has no chelek. No, of course not. Even a Ger doesn't have a chelek, wait. Yeshve mishum b'yom etitin tzchoroi. There is an issue of b'yom etitin tzchoroi if you don't pay him in time. Ve'enbe mishum loisolin k'olach sacher itchad boker, but you don't have the issur of you're not over on the issur of loisolin if you don't pay him. If you have the mitzvah assay basically, but not the mitzvah loisolin, as we'll see in the Gemara. So Gemara says mani masnisi. Which tana is our Mishnah like? Loi tana kama d'me achecha v'loi rab yosi d'rab Yehuda. Our Mishnah seems to not be like either of the opinions in the Braisa that darshens the word me'achecha in this pasuk in Kisei. Not like the Tanakama, not like Rabbi Yisrael B'Yehuda. Mighty, what is that Braisa? The Braisa starts off by saying like this, me'achecha prap la'achev. When the pasuk says you shouldn't withhold the worker, the wages of a worker, the me'achecha, from your brothers, prap la'achev means from your brothers as opposed to goyim. Very likely, Acherim over here is one of those things changed by the censors. We'll see further on the Omer, we're going to have Amaleki, which was changed by the censors from Goy or whatever. Probably here it's the same kind of thing.
What was it before then?
Amaleki was probably Goy or Nochri or whatever. Here, Acherim is probably the same thing. Anyway, whatever. Okay. Gercha is a Ger Tzedek. When the Torah continues, so the passage goes like this. Loisas Shoik Socher Oni Ve'evyen, Me'achecha, from your brothers, Oimi Gercha, or from your Ger, Asher Ba'artecha, which is in your land, Bisharecha, in your gate. So now we're going to darshan each of those phrases. Gercha me'achecha prap la'achem. The word me'achecha means as opposed to goyim. Gercha is a ger tzedek. The word gercha means a ger tzedek. Bisharecha is a oichel meaning, in other words, that if you withhold the wages of a ger tzedek, you're over on this issur of lo yisalver olam hashemesh.
Ger tzedek meaning a ger.
I mean a full-fledged ger, yeah. Bisharecha the oichel nevelus. When the Torah continues in your gate, that refers to a ger toshav. A ger toshav can be called sharecha because you have a different pasuk that uses the word sharecha in connection with him. The Torah says about nevela, like ger asher sharecha b'nei ve'achla. You can give it to a ger, meaning a ger toshav, who lives in your gates, who lives in your city, then he can eat it. So we see that a ger toshav can be referred to as bisharecha. Continues the Braisa. Emi al schar adam. Based on that, we would only know so far that the din of paying workers on time only applies to a person. Meaning, so far we have not to a goy, but it does include a ger tzedek and it does include a ger toshav. Minayin l'davis behem of a kalim. How do we know that it also includes wages for a rented animal or rented kalim? Tamad lema ba'artecha. Therefore, the Torah says in your land, meaning kol shabartecha, anything which is able to be in your land. Meaning Behemah and Kalim, which can be anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean, by the way, that this is a mitzvah pluy of Aretz. It's not. There's a few places where the Torah uses the word Ba'artzecha, or Ba'artzechem Leisaster, when it comes to Sirus. There's another one where even though the Torah uses the word in your land, doesn't mean as opposed to other lands, it just means anything which is capable of being in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, it's a Chavis Aguf, yes. It's not a mitzvah pluy of Aretz. It's not a mitzvah that has to do anything with the soil of Eretz Yisrael. This is one example, yeah. B'kulon ovin b'chol Hashem es halal. Continues the Braisa. In all these cases, whether you withhold the wages of a Yisrael, or a Ger, or Ger Toshav, or Behema, or Kalim, over B'chol Hashem es halal, you're going to be over on all these esses and lois esses that we learned before. Mikan Amru, based on this, they said, Echot Tzchar Odin, Echot Tzchar Behema, Echot Tzchar Kalim, Yesh Ba Mishum B'yem Etikin Tzcharei, to all of them, the mitzvah that they apply to pay them on that day, V'yesh Ba Mishum Bal Tolim Pol HaSachar, and all of them, the Isser of not leaving it overnight applies. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that when it comes to a ger toshav, you have the mitzvah saseh to pay him on time. The ein b'hem mishum lo stolen, but you don't have the lo saseh of lo stolen. But b'hem of a kalim ein b'hem ela mishum bal tashik bilvad. When it comes to animals and kalim, you only have the issur of bal tashik. As we'll learn later on the Amud, we'll deal with tomorrow how they get their various lamudim.
As opposed to
the Tanakhama had said that b'hem and kalim, you're going to be over on all of them. So now we have to ask Mani, who is our Mishnah like? E Tanakama de Me'achecha. If our Mishnah is like the Tanakama of that place, Kasha Ger Toshav, then you have a contradiction. What about the Ger Toshav? The Tanakama says the Ger Toshav, you're over on everything, and our Mishnah had said the Ger Toshav, you're only over on the Esser, not the Lois Esser. And E Rab Yosi, Kasha Behemoth of Kalim. And if our Mishnah goes like Rab Yosi Rab Yehuda, what about the Behemoth of Kalim? The Mishnah had said Behemoth of Kalim, you're over on all of them. Rab Yosi Rab Yehuda says you're only over on Lois Hashik. So Rava says, our Mishnah is according to a third opinion, which is not in that Braisa. Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. Echot Tzchar Odom ve'echot Tzchar Behema ve'echot Tzchar Kelim. Regardless whether it's a person or Behema or Kelim. Yesh ve'mishum b'yemetitim Tzchar ve'mishum lo'isalin. The various dinim apply. Ger Toshav, yesh ve'mishum b'yemetitim Tzchar ve'en ve'mishum b'altolin. A Ger Toshav is only the Esser, not the Lo'isesser. There you go, that exactly matches our Mishnah.
Yeah.